Salvation by grace through faith, the Christological meaning of marriage, the resplendent armor of God. These are some of the themes that you'll find in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, the New Concordia Commentary on Ephesians. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can read an excerpt of the Concordia Commentary on Ephesians at issuesetc.org, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, the Concordia Commentary on Ephesians.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. They're all over the Bible, from the very first chapters of the Bible. One of the first characters we meet after the triune God and Adam and Eve is, of course, an angel. An angel masquerading as a serpent, but an angel nonetheless. We learn from the rest of Scripture that this angel is one of the fallen angels. And then there are angels a little bit later set as guards at the Garden of Eden. They're appearing to Moses. They are appearing to Abraham. They're appearing all over Scripture. What are they there for? Why did God make the angels? And in the New Testament, they play a special role. They have announcements of Christ's incarnation. They protect the Christ child. They minister to Christ himself. And their presence remains with the church. In fact, we even have an account in, well, Acts chapter 12 of St. Peter being rescued by one. We'll get into all of that with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel as we teach a Sunday school lesson on this Monday afternoon. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
We do not know when exactly, or how, certainly, but we do know why God made the angels. Why did he make them?
Well, I would first want to answer the first question, when did God make them? It's kind of interesting, in Genesis 1:31, after God created the world and he had created everything, he says, "And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good." So we believe the angels were created between days 1 and 6, because after that, God then began preserving the world. So we don't know which day he made them. It's never mentioned. But we know they would not have fallen yet from God's grace, simply because he says everything was very good. And the Hebrew word for good there means everything was working the way God had intended it and created it. So everything was working fine. It's kind of interesting. You know, I like going to seminars and asking questions that even Lutherans get wrong. And the question I will ask is, when did sin first enter into creation? And by and large, Todd, everybody says when Adam and Eve sinned. And I said, no, there was someone else there who had already sinned, and that was Satan himself. It was the sin of Adam and Eve that brought all of the universe to its knees, not the sin of the fallen angels when they had that war in heaven. But when Lucifer appeared as a serpent, he already had sinned because he was trying to get Eve to believe that she would become like God. So I often ask this question also. How many angels are named in the Bible? And most people say two, Gabriel and Michael. Those are the only two named angels. But in reality, Lucifer or Satan or Beelzebul, these are all names for him, is also an angel. It's just that he's fallen. So God originally, to get back to your question, created angels in order to protect human beings and also to be his messenger. In fact, the word for angel means messenger, and many scholars believe that in Revelation 2 and 3, when Jesus speaks to the messengers at the seven churches, he's not talking to the angels, he's talking to the pastors. So the context will tell you whether this is a created angel, whether it's a pastor, or if it says the angel of the Lord, that's usually Jesus, even in his pre-incarnate state.
So we're not saying there that Jesus is or was an angel. We're simply saying He's called there the messenger of the Lord often in the New Testament when he appears before his incarnation.
Well said, because in Exodus 3, it is the angel of the Lord Jesus who appears to Moses at the burning bush. And when Moses asks his name, he gives the name of God, Yahweh. I am who I am. And this is the second person of the Trinity. So it's a clear example of Jesus, even though can be referred to as an angel like a pastor can, he's the only one who has divine attributes.
These angels in the New Testament are there from the very, just as they're there from the beginning of the Old Testament, they're there in the beginning of the New Testament, especially in the nativity counts of Jesus. They appear at various places although infrequently in the ministry of Jesus, but then they start appearing again, unnamed angels, in the Acts of the Apostles. We even have an account that we're going to talk about today of Peter being rescued by one. But give us the context for why Peter needs to be rescued by an angel in the first place.
At that time, there was persecution against the church by Herod, and we believe that this is Herod Agrippa, and he was an individual that really began a persecution against the church, and the first person he killed was James. Now, James is mentioned again later by Peter himself, so there are two James in this context. The James who is killed is specifically said to be the brother of John, and therefore, this is one of the apostles. The James that Peter mentions, saying to a person named Mary, tell James, that's actually the brother of Jesus who became the pastor of the Jerusalem church. But why did Peter get arrested? Well, this Herod Agrippa seemed to be like a lot of politicians who makes a move in a certain direction because it pleases his people. And in fact, it even says that. Verse 3, after verse 2, he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also, and he did that during the Festival of the Unleavened Bread, which is during the first month of the Jewish calendar.
So this is probably a life and death situation for Peter, isn't it? I mean, he hadn't just imprisoned him, but he's thinking maybe, well, I'll make the most of this with the Jews. I'll keep him in prison, but this is certainly the prelude to Peter's execution if God doesn't intervene.
Scripture interprets Scripture. When Peter gets miraculously released and he goes to the house of Mary, Rhoda, a young woman, sees him, gets so excited that she runs back and says, you know, Peter is here. And they say, you are out of your mind, because they were so sure that he would be put to death. In fact, they go on to say, it must be his angel. Not Peter himself, which could mean either the spirit of Peter after death or the angel that is with all of us. And then they finally come, and they are amazed when they open the door, and there is Peter. So everybody, including Herod Agrippa, thought that Peter would be put to death, but Herod Agrippa was just waiting for the end of the days of unleavened bread, because even these bad leaders didn't want to upset a festival of the Jews, lest they get too angry. And yet he wanted to do it while some stragglers were still around, so they would see that he was putting to death Peter, and perhaps even more people, therefore, would like Herod Agrippa for what he had done against James.
And it's a last-minute rescue, too. I mean, the church, it says, the church is in earnest prayer for him, praying to God on behalf of Peter. But in verse 6, it says, now when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night,
yes.
You know, the day has ended so that he can now legally do this without kind of making everyone mad. The plan is underway to bring him out and publicly execute him. What happens?
Well, what happened, not only was Peter sleeping between two soldiers, this was a heavy guard. This would be one of those prisons that we would have that would really be top flight. Hardly anybody can ever escape. He was also bound with two chains, and sentries were before the door guarding the prison. And all of a sudden, and this is important, the Greek here, it says, behold, an angel of the Lord. There's no definite article, so this isn't Jesus. This is definitely a created angel of the Lord stood next to him. And then a light also was shining in the cell where he was at, probably alone. He struck Peter on the side, woke him, said, get up quickly. And guess what? The chains fell off his hands. Then he put on warmer clothes, put on his sandals, and the angel said, follow me. And as they went out of the prison, wow, none of the guards appeared to see them, and they came to the iron gate leading into the city, and it opened of its own accord. Now, obviously, that's just a way of saying that God opened it. They went out and went along one street, and then the angel left them. Now, by the way, during this time, Peter felt like he was in a vision. In fact, verse 9 at the end says, but thought he was seeing the vision. But once the angel left him, and verse 11, it says, he came to himself. Here's what Peter says. Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me.
So he thinks he's, essentially he thinks he's dreaming or,
yes,
or something. But this is such a remarkable rescue, because it just shows the utter powerlessness of the authorities, the prison, the chains, the gates. All of those things mean nothing if God wants to deliver Peter from death.
Yes, and I would talk to the Sunday school children and say, have you ever been in a situation where, oh, you thought the time was up, nothing was going to happen, you had maybe been promised something by your parents, and boy, they didn't seem, maybe take you to McDonald's or whatever, and then all of a sudden it happened? Have you ever experienced something like that? And who's to say that it wasn't an angel that was helping to make sure that came to pass? And I think every children could have stories about their pets, maybe their friends, their siblings, or something that happened. We need to get the children to be thinking about the reality of angels around them so that they begin to think more and more like God does rather than like we normally do.
Well, it's, before we take this break, it seems to indicate, I'm trying to put myself in Peter's shoes here, that after this he is going to realize beyond a shadow of a doubt, look, there's no situation that I can find myself in that if God does not want to rescue me, he will not be able to rescue me. He will be able to rescue me under any circumstances. But the flip side of that, and it eventually does come true for Peter, flip side of that, Tom, is that if God chooses not to rescue him, even from death itself, then Peter knows this is the way it's supposed to be.
We don't even have to wait to the end of Peter's life to discover that. Remember, James had been killed by the sword, by Herod, which kind of motivated Herod to do it again with someone who was a follower of Jesus because it seemed to be so popular with the people. So just looking at James, God calls you when you are. I just so happened to attend a funeral today of one of my former members who I had seen in the hospice just before he died, and I was so glad for that. In fact, the other pastor gave him communion, but it was a kind of a joyous funeral because he was a man who occasionally would curse, as the pastors say, but he loved his Lord's Supper, and he knew he would be gone sometime. And that's what the sermon by Doug Gaunt was about, that God calls the shots, and therefore we have no fear of the future because he is in total control.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Monday afternoon, June the 8th. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You can find out more about it and a link to it at our website, issuesztc.org. Click Listen on Demand. The story of Peter being sprung from prison miraculously by God through his angel is not over. There's a little bit more to tell, and we will do that right after this.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service, every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis. Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues, Etc. journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues, Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues, Etc. journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues, Etc.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Special thanks to Calvary Lutheran Church in Indianapolis for recently becoming a congregational sponsor of the Issues, Etc. They have joined the Issues, Etc. 300. This is a group of congregations that have dedicated $1,000 or more in their annual budget to support Issues, Etc. Now, this is that time of the year as June moves on, the fiscal year is coming to an end. Congregations are now making those decisions, finalizing those decisions about what will be in their budget. And we would like very much if you would ask your congregation to include Issues, Etc. in your budget and become part of the Issues, Etc. 300. All the benefits of being a Issues, Etc. 300 congregation and what it involves are found on a one-page flyer that we've provided at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. You'll see the one-page flyer. Click on it, download it, print it off, and take it to your congregation. Ask them to join the Issues, Etc. 300, and thank you in advance for doing just that. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're talking about the angels and how God uses the angels to deliver his people. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. There's more to this story here. In fact, we discover that this family of Christians, or this group of Christians here, are in earnest prayer about Peter. You alluded to this before. Peter finds his way by night after being let loose from the prison, realizing he really was free from the prison. He finds his way to the house of Mary, the mother of Mark. Pick it up there.
Yes. We believe Mark is John. Mary is the sister, we believe, of Barnabas. And so, you know, I find it really interesting. There's a little kind of note in the verse 10 that when he was going with the angel, they went along one street, and then the angel left him. So it even seems that the angel directed Peter to the house where he was to go, which was the house of Mary. In fact, one of the great things that the Growing in Christ has in their teacher's guide on page 23, it has a list of Bible verses, and we see the work of angels in praising God, revealing God's will, strengthening us, rescuing, protecting, fighting for us, sharing the good news. So I would encourage the teachers to take a look at that. But when Peter gets to the house of Mary, then he knocks on the door. Now, Mary needed to be somewhat wealthy because she has a servant girl named Rhoda, and they have a gate, so you just can't walk up to the house, so she had some property. And though she recognized Peter's voice, she became so joyous that she forgot to open the gate and ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. And, of course, they said kind of the same thing that the scribes said about Jesus in Nazareth. he is out of his mind. They said to her, you are out of your mind. And said, no, it really is. They said, well, maybe it's his angel. Well, Peter continued knocking, and when they saw him, they were amazed. Now, there's a couple of things here I saw that I found very interesting. The first thing he does, he raises his hand for them to be silent. And I said, now, why would that be? If God is taking care of him, can he yell from the rooftops? No, because we know that Herod had sent out his soldiers trying to find him, you know. And so even though God may rescue you, that doesn't mean you can therefore ignore other safety precautions. And the other thing that happened at the end of verse 17, that after telling them to tell James, that is, the brother of Jesus, and the other brothers about his escape, it says he departed and went to another place. Well, why did he have to do that if God was taking care of him? The point I'm trying to make here, that God does provide us with all kinds of escapes, but that doesn't mean that we don't use our own reason to still be safe or do his will. I've often said to my congregation, you know, the work of the devil failed this morning with all of you sitting here because he wanted every one of you to have a car accident and not get to church. But your angels protected you. That's their job. You can't believe how many bad things almost happened to you that the angels stopped. And the reason you don't know about that is because not only are they invisible, but you aren't often aware of such things.
So he says, go, and this is just a little detail that we need to clear up, because at the beginning of account, James, the brother of John, was killed. And then here at the end of the account, Peter says to the people at Mary's house, tell these things to James and to the brothers. A different James, which one is this?
Yes, this is the actual brother of Jesus, James, whom we believe became pastor of the Jerusalem church. He also was one who was finally martyred. But at this time, he would have been one of the main individuals. Names were very common in those days. That's why John Mark is called, because Mark is a Greek name. And so, therefore, he was somewhat affiliated with Greek relatives. But the word James would be definitely a name for Jews, and it was common, just like the name Jesus was common. But the most common we hear it today, some Hispanics, Jesus, which is, of course, from the word Jesus. But I find it interesting. I don't know anybody who named their child Judas. I don't know of anybody like that, but I hope nobody calls up and says, yes, I'm a Judas. What's wrong with that?
There are actually some pretty dire consequences after this. The day comes, Herod, the soldiers are in consternation about where Peter might have gone to. Herod makes a search for Peter, doesn't find him. He examines the sentries, these men posted at the door, and then beside Peter on either side. I'm sure they had no explanation. We just woke up and he was gone. They're put to death, and then Herod goes on vacation. How does all of this demonstrate God's not only the protection of his people, but he is, this is kind of Old Testament God stuff. He is defending his people, fighting for his people. What are your thoughts there with a few minutes left to us, Tom?
Yeah, yes, and I would even put another two cents in that we see this anger on the part of God, his wrath, particularly against idolatry. In the Old Testament, when Ahaziah went to Beelzebul, a god of the Philistines, after he injured himself in a fall, Elijah came to him and said, because you didn't go to the true God, you will die. And of course, he died. But it's not just the soldiers who are put to death. Now, it's not part of the lesson, but later on, this Herod character is speaking to a people who need his food, and they say the voice of God and not of a man. And of course, Herod was beginning to believe that. So immediately, listen to this, an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. Now, that's not part for the kids, part of the story, but just so the Sunday school teachers realize, the only thing that can stop the wrath of God is God. Law and gospel is so simple. The law tells us where we are failing. The gospel tells us how God succeeds for us and then transfers all that success over to us. And every Bible pericope has the same message. It's just got different details each time.
So with only 30 seconds, do we ever need to worry that God has kind of forgotten, lost track of us when we find ourselves in dire circumstances? About 30 seconds.
The only reason I need not worry is not because of my experience, because a lot of times I think he has forgotten about me, but when I look to the promises of the Bible, they're voluminous. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. I trust Jesus Christ. I trust his word. So I never doubt that he's taking care of me, even if my experience appears to contradict that.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, he'll lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. Tom, thank you very much.
And thank you, Todd.
Growing in Christ forms the basis for our conversations with Pastor Tom Baker. Find out about this great Sunday school curriculum at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House and they'll send you a free sample. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask about Growing in Christ, a great Sunday school curriculum for children of all ages. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll look forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary, talking with Pastor David Peterson about the parable of the great banquet in Luke chapter 14. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.